Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's BudPod 78.
78, you're so 70 late.
Oh, very nice. A stinging rebuke.
That was the biggest burn of 2008.
That's right.
Yeah, what are you, 2008? And you'd have to hide from society for weeks and apply salve to that burn.
Well, you'd have to wait till 2009.
That's true. You had to wait a whole calendar year.
Yeah.
And 2009, where a year in which, at worst, you would be 2000 and fine.
Yes. And then in 2010, it happened again.
Hey, speaking of the early 2000s, I've been watching the harrowing but excellent Once Upon a Time in Iraq.
Yes.
It's on the iPlayer. I thoroughly recommend it to anyone above the age of 18. And maybe, well, it can be hard watching, but it's superb. It's so good. It's a series of, like, interviews with people who are there. And you know what, Pierre? I reckon the Iraq War was a fucking catastrophe.
And it started so strong.
Man, I always knew it was bad, but I had no idea. I had no idea just how incompetent and directionless the whole operation was.
Bungled from start to finish. Well, that's the irony, is that the first sort of 30 days of it or whatever, it was just like everyone was expecting this huge fucking war and like gas and nuclear maybe getting involved, like chemical weapons, and then it just crumbled and they moved into Baghdad within like a fucking 2 weeks, and they were the actual war was the easiest bit. It was the not deliberately sabotaging the structure of civic society that they fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's so interesting at the beginning. A lot of the Iraqis were like, yeah, you got rid of Saddam, great. And the Americans were like, you're free. And they're like, the Iraqis like, brilliant, cheers. Can you turn the electricity back on? And the Americans like, you're free. And the Iraqis like, we could really do with some of that water we used to have. And the Americans went, congratulations on being free.
You know what it is? It's so clearly like an administration and a military which has only ever focused on what you might call the fun and exciting bit.
Yeah.
It was like, we blew up the enemy tank. And you go, that's great. And now you're in charge of the town. And they go, oh, now I'm essentially the mayor. I didn't want to be a mayor. I wanted to blow things up.
Yeah. I was playing Red Alert, not SimCity.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm only interested in building to the point where it can help me blow up more things.
Extraordinary. The concept of all the gear and no idea doesn't apply to anything as much as it applies to the American troops who went into Iraq.
High-powered...
Javelin missile launchers that they just blow up overhead of their own soldiers.
It's just, what a nightmare. What a nightmare. And it makes you wonder about when we invaded Germany in 1945 and how different it was, where people were like, well, of course we have to restart all the factories and get people working again. I mean, that's where Volkswagen comes from. In its modern form.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Obviously, it was a Hitler car before, but then a British major who was in charge of that section was like, well, obviously we need the factory open again. We need to make more of these Hitler cars.
The Hitlermobile. Right into action. The mustachioed psychopath arrives in his Hitlermobile.
Featuring his doughty sidekick, Mussolini Boy.
Just in case you've just tuned in, no, this isn't a podcast from 2004. We really are talking about the Iraq War and the 1960s Batman.
I really wish it was a podcast from 2004 sometimes.
2004?
Oh, no.
That's us done.
In 2003, the Iraqis were 2003. Then after that, it went downhill. Maybe that's why 2020 is so bad, because nothing rhymes with 20. Plenty? Plenty of disasters.
Yeah, plenty of virus.
Plenty of virus.
2020 is the year 20? We all got really big coffees.
And that's why we all have such bad anxiety.
That's right.
Maybe. I think Plenty of Virus is the name of the new Bond girl.
She's Irish, right? She's Irish?
Yeah. Plenty of Virus. Virus is spelt F-G-H-A-O-U. Plenty of
Z
Virus.
Apostrophe, the at symbol. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm afraid this is going to have to be your new assistant, Plenty of Virus. Well, hello, Mr. Bond. I like the idea that it's the next Bond girl is called Plenty of Virus, and she's like an old, like an Irish tea lady, like a, like
yeah,
the
yeah,
nanny
yeah.
from Father Ted.
Ah, go on. You'll have some virus. You'll have some virus.
Well, why don't you use your fucking laser watch? Oh, yes, of course. What would I do without you here, Ms. O'Virus?
Yeah, you know what, actually, never mind the first Black Bond. How about the first Irish M? When are we going to break down that barrier?
I like the idea of them trying to present a head of a British spy service with an Irish, a prominent Irish member.
Exactly, yeah.
You're going to Northern Ireland, Bond, and you're not coming back. James Bond films must count in Ireland legally as horror films.
Right, yeah, at least enemy propaganda.
Yeah, the Brits are everywhere. You'd be terrified watching it. They've got lasers. It's like watching Predator for humans.
Right, yeah. they're in the air vents.
Yeah, and it's like with like Freddy or Jason, it's like you think Bond is dead and he just comes back and rears up behind you. Just loads of Irish people leaving the cinema ashen-faced.
He's just everywhere. His stationery... his weapons, and he has sex with women under dubious states of consent. He's a terror.
Do you think they'll ever come back to like whimsical Bond with like fun gadgets, or are we in like it turns out the real terrorists were the CIA territory for the rest of our lives?
I think we're in gritty movie for the rest of our lives. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the new Batman trailer, Pierre.
Oh, it's gritty as all hell, isn't it?
It's gritty. It's a gritty reboot of Christopher Nolan's gritty reboot.
Yeah, I have grit stuck in my teeth still just from watching it.
So much grit. I love it, though. I love it. People keep going, oh, it's another serious Batman. I love serious Batman. I will watch serious Batman. I will watch the same... Batman movie made again and again and again for a thousand times over. I don't care. I'll watch it again and again and again. I cannot be out-grumbled. I cannot be out-darked. I cannot be out-Batmaned. I am really looking forward to this Batman. It looks even more emo than before. His bat symbol is made out of the parts of the gun that killed his parents.
Jesus,
yes, please.
Christ.
Yes, please. That is some emo Batman. I love it. I love
that,
it.
I didn't even know that. That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you zoom into his bat symbol on his chest, it's made out of the parts of the gun.
Oh, my God. That is such a one-man like advert for fucking therapy.
It's a bit much.
It'd be such a funny conversation for him to have with Alfred, where he's like, this is my new bat suit. I'm going to wear it when I go out and fight crime. And Alfred's, you know, trying to look out for him. He's like, oh, yes, Master Wayne, but do you have to have the murder weapon in the... Maybe that could go back to the police, maybe. How did you get that, by the way? You'd have so many concerned questions if you're a proper nice old butler.
Oh, yeah, also the idea is that you know, it's so I never forget. It's like, were you going to forget? This seems to be your entire personality. I don't think you're going to forget.
You don't do anything else. You worried you get so into gardening that you're going to... Wait, someone killed my parents. Like, you'll suddenly pop up from a flower bed one day and go, oh, the crime. I like the ramblingness of Gotham. Like, sometimes I like it when they make Gotham so rambly and, like, carved looking that you sort of go, this is like American medieval. This is like like what American cities will probably look like in 1,000 years, not now.
What do you mean rambly?
There's gargoyles and fucking old rock buildings and like rambly alleyways and things, you know?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I guess that's from the animated series. No, I guess it's actually from the Tim Burton stuff, maybe. I think it really suits it.
And the way that it's depicted in comic books is sort of always fantastical and kind of endless. It's like Spider-Man. He never runs out of skyscrapers to swing from. He's never just jogging.
That's true. Yeah, Spider-Man's not a superhero for the desert, certainly.
No, Bedouin Spider-Man is a absolutely dogshit adaptation that I will not recommend. Caravan Spider-Man.
Yeah, not much to do.
Spider-Man, riding a camel caravan through the desert going at night. Because it's too hot in the day for him. He'll die.
Just the song ends. He'll die.
He'll die. He doesn't know the ways of the desert. It's charms.
He'll die.
Do you think there'll ever come a point... Wait, is this new Batman so emo that he actually does kill people, or is he still no-kill Batman?
Well, there's a bit in the trailer where he beats a guy up so hard and so relentlessly and so viciously. It's hard to believe he isn't dead, but... I mean, like, you just watch him, like, break his arm, punch him in the face, keep punching him until he's on the ground, and then continue to smash his face in. And you go, well, I mean, if he's not dead, his life isn't worth living anymore. but at least Batman hasn't broken his one rule. He's just broken that guy's skull.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Technicality Batman, where there's just... where the Bruce Wayne Foundation has to pay for an entire new hospital just for all the people put into comas by Batman. None of them are dead, but they're all in comas forever.
Where does manslaughter come into play in his rule? I've always wondered this.
Yeah,
where does negligence and manslaughter come into play? I know he won't murder, but what degrees are we talking about here?
Do you think that if you accepted that no-kill Batman as a rule was as immutable as, say, gravity, then that means that even if Batman kills people, it is always manslaughter because he never intended to, because Batman doesn't kill people?
Right. Very much the Nixonian approach to Batman ethics.
Yes, exactly. It's not illegal if Batman does it.
Yeah, exactly. If Batman kills him, it's not murder.
If Batman kills him, it's not murder. It's because he can say, well, I didn't mean to, because I'm Batman. You know, I didn't mean to. I hate killing. I just punched him until he wasn't alive anymore, and that was a shame.
There's a bit at the end of Batman Begins, spoiler alert, when he and Ra's al Ghul are in that train that's about to derail and crash into the ground.
Mm.
And Batman's about to glide off. He says, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. And you're like, oh, okay. well, unless Ra's al Ghul can suddenly grow a pair of wings. I don't think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's interesting that by that logic, Batman could just push people off buildings and pick them up and tie them up and put them very near a big fire.
Or just lead them into a wood chipper. I didn't have to save him.
Leave poison around and hope they drink it so you don't have to give them the antidote. It would come to the point where even the Joker is like, look, man, just kill people. Come on, this is silly now. In a way, that's as obtuse as the Riddler, isn't it? Just someone who's like, well, I'm a terrorist, but I don't see any reason to make it as simple as normal terrorism notoriously is.
Yes. Yeah. If anything, it's more psychologically torturing.
Yeah, it's funny that the Riddler would watch a video where ISIS claim responsibility for something and be like, "Oh, well, I wanted to work that out."
Right. Yeah. It's all a bit spoilers. Obvious in the real world.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are spoilers. I can't wait. I cannot wait. His Batmobile is a muscle car. Like a muscle car from the 80s or something. Yes, please.
What kind of soundtrack are we talking here? We got Hans Zimmer back in the room, Mr. Room.
Well, get this: the trailer has a the trailer is accompanied by a Nirvana song.
Oh yes.
Yeah, just in case you were in any doubt as to how moody this Batman was.
Smells like bat spirit.
Smells like guano. That's
that's smells like bat guano.
Smells like bat guano. I really hope the sound system in the Batmobile just plays Hurt on repeat.
Yeah. When you start the car, just immediately Johnny Cash starts going, I hurt myself today. But then it's really inappropriate for shorter drives.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds silly because you sort of get in, you go, okay, I'm driving the Batmobile. Vroom, hurt myself today to see if I still feel... You're just going down the road.
Yeah.
Eventually it would be great. I would like to see it would be a lot scarier to have a cheerful Batman, or is that just the Joker, just like a chuckling sort of benign killer?
I suppose yeah, just a guy who sort of injures you very badly and then makes a little quip about it. I mean, that's Bond, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess Batman is James Bond.
Yeah, cheerful murderous Batman is James Bond.
Cheerful sexy murderous Batman.
That's true, very sexy.
Batman can't get laid because it's too fun and he has to be sad.
He is celibate, yeah. He took an oath.
Oh, did he?
Of celibacy? No.
Was that part of his ninja training?
No, but it's sort of like he near as damn it has.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's sort of, an unspoken oath. He's just asexual now. He's not interested.
So Ra's al Ghul was like very circumspect about it, very circuitous, like, try not to... release any of your natural energy, if you see what I'm saying.
Actually, I must correct myself. That's not true. He does have famous affairs with Talia al Ghul and Selina Kyle, of course. There'll be Batman fans screaming into their earphones right now. So I want to correct that.
I just like the idea of you can't do that thing where you just appear behind Commissioner Gordon if you've jizzed in the last week.
Just Commissioner Gordon going, well, man, the Riddler's hit another... Oh, what is that funky... Oh, it's kind of like sweat, but It's got a slight sweet, a slightly sweet kind of edge to it. Oh, Batman, there you are.
Did someone come? That Batman can't sneak up on people because he stinks of cum. You gotta clean the suit, Batman.
At least air it out.
I only have one.
I only have one rule and I only have one suit.
Do you know how expensive this suit is? Who can I trust to dry clean it?
God, yuck. Yuck, I say.
It's such an undignified quality for Batman to have. And a chillingly good sense of smell on Commissioner Gordon.
It's true. It's how he got the job. It's how he made Commissioner.
You know the case that made Commissioner Gordon's name? No one from CSI could find the jizz on the crime scene, but by God.
Gordon could do it.
Yeah, he just came in and he was like, he pointed at the upper corner of the ceiling. There! It's there. I'd stake my career on it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I was I performed indoors last night, Pierre, for the first time since the end of civilization as we knew it.
How did you find inside. It?
It was great. It was fun to be back. It was eerie performing to people indoors with masks on. I performed to people yes. with masks on, but it was outdoors. It looked a little less out of place, but indoors, people with masks on.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit odd.
Any ninjas in tonight?
I really couldn't tell how it had gone, because I couldn't see if people were smiling or frowning or anything.
Mm. Well, you had a pod bud in the audience.
Did I?
You did. They tweeted the podcast account. Who was it? Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you? Joe Parker. Hello, Joe Parker.
Joe Parker.
Lovely Joe Parker.
Yeah.
Was there? He
Joe
said...
Joe Parker sitting in the darker.
Yeah, he said, great show last night. Could it be the first indoor show in the after now normal times? I was debating calling out Koji, but I bottled it.
Oh, great. Well, thanks. It's always... a double-edged sword when someone shouts out Koji in a gig, because it's always nice to hear from a podbud, but for the non-podbuds in the room, it is very confusing.
Yes, yes. And it's very... It only gets more confusing the more you try to explain.
Yes. So I kind of just have to go, yes, good to see you, and then move on. Which
leaves
everyone in a sort of... like a state of... what had did that just happen? Did I hear that? What's going on?
I almost quite like that, though, because I think it makes the non-podbuds feel like they're missing out on some kind of, like, private members club.
But I always feel that's sort of exclusionary, and it pushes people away. At least that's what it would do to me. If I went to see something or someone, and it was made obvious that there was, you know, a deeper level of connection that I was not privy to. I it would push me away. But maybe that's more to do with my personality type.
Yeah, I think it does depend on who you are. Some people go, wait, what was that? Me, please feed me the special food. I want it. And some people go, well, I'll shove it up your ass then. And they storm out.
Yeah, I'm very much a second. Which also means that I've sort of not pursued many things in my life. But at least I've always felt righteous.
Yeah, righteous and in control.
That's right.
Whereas I think I'm often the opposite, whereas I go, oh, what is it? Oh, please tell me. And then it's always like 90% of the time it's disappointing.
Now, I think that's the better way to operate, though, because you are more you engage with more things than I am, and you know about more things than I am, than I do, because you engage like that.
But maybe.
At least I have my pride, which you...
We'll do a swap.
Which you lost years ago. At least I still have my pride.
Yes, you are like proud and locked in a very tall tower on your own, and I'm surrounded by people grubbing in the mud trying to lick their feet.
That's right,
and that's the way it's gonna stay in 2020.
I'm like Rapunzel up in my tower, growing me hair.
Do you think you could carry off long hair? That's something I wondered before I got my haircut.
I think about this all the time. You know, I always look better than I think I will with longer hair, but it's never gone down to like my shoulders or anything.
I think a lot of East Asian dudes with long hair end up looking like either pop stars or the guy who Mel Gibson has to fight at some point in Lethal Weapon.
yeah. Or Keanu Reeves. I think every Asian guy with long hair at one point from an angle you go, is that Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, exactly. And it's it definitely, if you're an East Asian guy and you have long hair, I'm coming into that conversation assuming that you are, at least from some angle, a badass.
That's true. That's true, because there's a whole samurai kind of thing. It's like, if you see an Asian guy with very long hair, you go, oh, this is because he's very disciplined in something.
Whereas if you see a white guy
with very long hair, the opposite conclusion, oh, he is very undisciplined, he should get a haircut.
That's it, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that the traditional martial haircuts of the culture affect what you think?
That's true. And an upside of being Asian is, I reckon, the only men who can get away with a top knot.
Yes.
Do you reckon? Or like, maybe not a ponytail, but certainly like a top knot. I think an East Asian guy or an Asian guy looks very cool.
Yes, I think it works. Like one of those ones where it's all sort of woven in.
Mm-hmm. You look like a samurai.
Yeah, you'd think you're very good at something. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right, yeah.
You've done one thing so much.
Yeah. I reckon I'm going to try that. If I ever get the ability to grow facial hair and I'm still holding out, I'm going to try and grow a beard and a little top knot and look like a cool like Mongolian warrior or something.
Ah, that would be good. That would be good. Whereas I sort of think that if I had long hair, if I'd let my hair grow down to my shoulders, and God knows how long that would have taken, because all through lockdown I let it grow and it got long, but it still was taking forever because it just gets like thicker and thicker. It doesn't like hang. I reckon I would look just like, I just really like Metallica.
Yeah, that's right.
Like maybe I even hit the road with a few bands you might have heard of if you listen to a lot of metal.
Yeah.
It's my job to carry some of the heaviest speakers onto the stage.
That's right. Your shorts have a lot of pockets in them.
Oh yeah, a lot of pockets. Yeah, I'm wearing those like camel-colored reinforced steel toe-cap boots, and I've got a Leatherman.
You've got three carabiners on you at any time.
I've got a Leatherman, I got three carabiners, I got a kind of leather wristlet.
Yes, that's right.
Leather wristlet.
But it's like one with the sort of like a clasp. Like, there should be a watch face on it, but there isn't. It's just the strap.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And often, weirdly, I've seen with like roadies or like tech people for theater or music shows, loads of tattoos or none.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always seems to be either that, like, the illustrated man or, you're like, oh no, I don't do that sort of thing. Like, they're sort of weirdly clean living.
Yes, you're right.
Maybe it's because they see so many famous people who are like losing their fucking minds because of even just like beer.
Maybe.
That should be the new Scared Straight. Instead of convicts coming to schools and scaring the fuck out of kids, it should just be like pop stars just going, you guys want to hear a song? And all the kids, ah!
But on the contrary, aren't they also exposed to the most attractive elements of that? You know, seeing superstars all the time in front of thousands of adoring fans.
That's true, but they don't like the public because they have to shepherd them like sheep through little channels and watch them throw up on themselves.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible! That's one aspect of festivals I've really not missed this year.
Just watching people filth. Behave like cattle.
Yeah. Just the absolute filth of it.
It's disconcerting. And as we discussed after you went to Glastonbury, you do encounter people, a lot of crystal folk, the new animism, like you said last week, I think. A lot of woo-woo. A
lot of crystals. Lost a lot of crystals about.
A lot of crystals, a lot of poop.
Speaking
of crystals and poop, shall we do some emails?
Oh, yeah.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, jacking, your sister, correspondence.
All right, correspondence.
Corresponder.
April gets in touch.
April. Wow, April. 2000 and L'April.
Yes.
Don't be 2000 and L'April, April. Exactly. I wonder what it's like to have to be named after a month. Like, do you reckon for April, when April comes around, she gets a sense of grandeur? Do you think she...
Yeah.
Does her self-esteem go up or go down? Does she feel... Because everyone's talking about her, you know?
I've always wondered that, because you see it on the... when she looks at it on the calendar, does she think, huh, there I am.
That's right. Or when she's at school and you need to write the date every day, would she write... I mean, it'd feel pretty good for a month, a year at school to go, today's the 23rd of Phil, 1998 or whatever.
Phil Fools.
That's it, April's Fools. That'd be a cool thing to like call all her exes. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? April's Fools.
Yeah, yeah. April's Fools.
That's fun.
I always found it weird if I was in France and Pierre means rock or stone in French.
Oh, God, Peter, petrify, yeah.
Yeah, Petra. The rock, which is a nickname, the rock upon which I will build my church, Simon Peter. And so I see the signs. If you drive past cliffs, it's like, attention, you know, les pierres, like the pierres are coming. Like, oh!
I just had this image of loads of views just tumbling down a hill, but you're not like rolling over. You know when you like start walking down a slope and it's steeper than you thought it was going to be, and you're like, and you're like walking but very fast, and you're about to lose control.
You bend all the way backwards.
Yeah, that's what I see. Just loads of you doing that down a hill towards the road.
Attention, les pierres. French people running away. April. She says, "Hi, Phil and Pierre. I started listening to your podcast as lockdown laws started kicking in, and so I'm so glad to have stumbled across BudPod. I can't help but cackle loudly when I'm listening to your podcast, my morning walk and my jog. People stare at me like I've lost my marbles, but haven't we all by this point.
That's true.
He says, I've always found poo stories unnecessarily funny.
They're very necessarily funny. I mean,
I think if you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
You'd have to cry. Yeah.
Someone would go, oh, I did a horrible poo this morning. Harrowing.
I wonder what the evolutionary... I wonder if there is an evolutionary reason for finding poo so funny.
Maybe it is because...
It's just taboo, right? It's just taboo.
It's taboo. But also, like, the experience of, like, something horrible just, like, having to come out of you all the time would be so traumatic if it wasn't funny, surely. Every day.
Why isn't bleeding funny?
Because it doesn't have to happen.
Right. It doesn't have... Right.
And it's dangerous. Whereas pooing has to happen, and it doesn't matter. It's not dangerous to happen. So it's just like this humiliation that is visited upon
everyone. It's humiliating.
Everyone.
Bleeding isn't... You're right. Bleeding is not humiliating.
No, bleeding.
If anything, it can
cool.
look quite heroic. Yeah. That's right.
So.
Yeah.
I've always found poo stories unnecessarily funny. Growing up, my mum used to think there was something wrong with my brother and I, as we constantly cackled at anything slightly resembling or sounding like poo. I thought maybe turning 25 might mature me out of it, but obviously it has not. You've really found the fucking podcast for you, April. Well done. Good lord, yes. So she says, and this is a very good photo, I'll describe it. The other day I was walking down my street for a coffee and I found these words engraved in the sidewalk. I thought you guys might find it funny. Hope you're staying safe and sane. Lots of love from Sydney, April. So, the photo is, you know when the pavement is made of concrete squares and there's a sort of new, there's some new ones. They've come and put some new paving slabs down.
So they're these a bit ones, lighter than the others maybe?
Exactly. These ones are light as all hell, Phil.
Okay, great.
And someone has taken, I don't think their finger, I'm going to say an old pencil.
Right.
The end of an old pencil. And in the still drying concrete, they have inscribed a little message in tiny little letters. I'd say each letter is about the size of a big toe.
Right, okay. But wait, this is the concrete between the slabs?
Sort of, yeah. Not between. Okay. It seems like they almost poured almost like 3 or 4 inches of concrete around the central tile.
Okay.
So there's plenty of room to write. And in little letters, they've written there, Poo bum we.
Yeah. You can't fault it. It's just good classic stuff.
Poo bum we. And all in lowercase, like a lowercase p. Very interesting style.
Brilliant. Lower
really,
case.
Really enjoy this. Really, really made me laugh that because the lack of formality is funny. It's just like the graffiti doesn't even want to intrude on you because so it's lowercase. Poo bum we.
What is also what I really like about stuff that's inscribed in cement is that you know there was a time pressure on it. Because it's not going to be wet forever, you know.
Yeah.
So you're under the vandal, you know, is under time constraint.
Not just that, time pressure, but also trying to do it unseen, like someone cracking a safe.
Yeah.
My chance is here. Poop on we.
What am I going to write? Come on, man, we have to go. Just shut up. Give me a second. I need to think. Just write poo bum we. Really? Yeah, come on, we got to go. Poo bum we.
Cut the red wire. That vibe.
Yeah.
Will gets in touch, and I really like this email from Will.
From a Will to a Phil.
So Will says, hello, lads. Nice.
Very nice.
As anyone with young children knows, trying to get some private toilet time is a real struggle.
Okay.
In our house, one bathroom has a lock on the door, and one does not.
Okay. Oh, one of those. One of those households, is it?
Yeah. With
absolutely
just a
terrifying
tiny knob.
To visit. Yeah, you go over for dinner or something, and you just go into the bathroom, and you go, oh, I guess everyone here is a pervert.
And you just
there's no lock on the door.
Yeah, you're like pissing or sitting on the loo with the unlocked door shut, and you're sort of thinking, should I be on the loo here? Just going like, yabba dee ba pee pa poo. I'm a guest in the toilet.
Well, the most baffling thing is when the people who live there just like, they open the door and you go, oh, I'm in here. And they go, oh, sorry. And you think, you live here. But don't you know to check? You live here. You know there's no lock on this door.
You're so comfortable with just wandering in and out of toilet rooms. Yeah. So, this is William's situation. So, in our house, one bathroom has a lock on the door and one does not, and I have had to abandon the lockless one, as both of my children find it fascinating to come and have a chat with me while I'm busy strangling a Mars bar.
Strangling a Mars bar, very nice. Strangling.
Really, fight for your life stuff.
Also, like, the implications of what he's accusing this Mars, this pooey Mars bar of doing. Like, what are you doing here? Just grabbing.
Who sent you?
Scrambling your poo here. Who sent you? What Who are you doing coming out of my ass? How did you get like in that. There?
What are you? Yeah.
What are you?
So he says, so his kids love to come in and say, oh, Dad, why do elephants have a trunk or whatever while he's trying to have a shit? So he has to use the locked one. So he says, it's even worse during lockdown when every bowel movement is a matter of public record and frequently a topic of discussion at the dinner table.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
I'm therefore grateful for the toilet with a lock on the door, and that has become a place of sanctuary. However, of late, my son, who is 4 and a half, a very funny age, I might add. That's me talking there. My son, who is 4 and a half, has taken...
Very funny in what way? As in just the number? Or like, one is normally funny at that age?
I think they just become like quite opinionated, and they sort of funny, and they start saying things, and they don't have any filter.
That's right. Yes. You've become conscious of just enough to comment on the world, but not enough to know obvious things about it, right? So you can kind of engage with the world, but you still don't know anything, which is
exactly
funny. It's a funny perspective, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, to that end, however, of late, my son, who is 4 and a half, has taken to sitting outside while I'm in the locked toilet, and when noises emerge, whispering, disgusting, under the door. In a judgmental manner.
That's so funny. Disgusting.
Disgusting. But just like the way that little kids whisper, disgusting. Like stage whisper, disgusting. Can you imagine the shock and how much you'd laugh the first time that happened when you're just on the loo in the locked room and just like, disgusting. You go, Jesus Christ.
What is so funny is that child has identified precisely, like precisely the insecurity that people put locks on doors because of.
Yeah, he's, like a sniper.
And he's seen his father go in and lock the door, and he has identified precisely why. And he's used everything in his power to nullify the measures his father has taken to avoid that embarrassment.
Yeah, and just, he may as well have dissolved the lock in acid.
God, that's funny. That's really funny.
Also, it's so funny if like a little kid whispers something under a door. The sound doesn't come from behind the door. It so clearly comes from underneath the door next to the floor.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm picturing it coming from.
Yeah. Disgusting. After each little fart or plop.
That's so funny.
It's so funny and it's so weird. It's such an incredibly disturbing thing to do. I love it.
It's such a little... It's such an adept little bit of terrorism.
Yes. Yes. True domestic terrorism.
You're hitting them where it hurts. Like, you've really... Yeah, it's really adeptly done. It's so funny.
That's amazing. He said, Will says, I think nobody in the entire world has had to suffer as much as me during the current crisis. Fond regards, Will.
Man. I reckon that 4-year-old is going to end up like a really good therapist or counselor or something. Because he obviously just knows what people are afraid of and how they feel and what motivates them.
Yes. Yes, that's true, isn't it? He's got this kind of preternatural ability to zero in on something. So he'll either be a great therapist or like just a hell of a bully. Fantastic bully.
That's right. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or that. Yeah, yeah. Or a real
terror. Both. Or both. First one, then the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, absolutely.
God.
I just hope he uses his powers for good, you know? Disgusting.
Disgusting.
I guess it's also the 4 is sort of the age when you first become aware of embarrassment, right? And you become kind of obsessed with the idea of embarrassment, and you become easily embarrassed yourself. It's the first awareness of dignity, right? Of social mores. Is it mores or mores? Social mores.
I've heard both. I've always said social mores because mores just seems a bit... Oh, that's a more. It just seems a bit silly in my head.
I would say mores just to be distinctly different from mores because otherwise, you know, it's quite ambiguous.
Surely. Yeah, I've never been clear. I've never been clear.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'll say mores.
Yes. We should actually engage, I think, with some of the stuff we get sent on Twitter. I don't know if you saw the truly aggressive kind of woman in a pub tat that we were tweeting about. I think you saw it.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. Read it out again. It's one of those sort of... it's kind of one of those enamel plaques that... I guess the idea is you put it in your home bar or... It's in like a
your fun pub, like, your fun local pub.
That's right, yeah. Or maybe like a misjudged man cave or something. Yeah.
Yes. So it was sent to us by the fantastically named Dan Stables.
Mm-hmm. That is a good name.
Hell of a name. So it's a sort of enameled metal sign that's been drilled into a wall.
Yep.
And it says, men, in big letters, which is always a warning sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any tat that begins with one of the sexes is bad news.
Yes. Men, please read rules. That's what it says, just underneath men.
Yeah, so the idea being that what follows is a list of rules for men to follow. Yeah.
Number one. Please don't talk to my breasts. You won't be meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting... I like the idea of formally meeting some breasts.
Yeah, and shaking them with your hand. Like, good to meet you.
Sir Alan, these are my breasts. Ah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
I've heard so much about you. Only good things, we hope. Ha 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 ha.
Why, I'd have said that they were his daughter's breasts. Oh, you do, go on. Lovely, a lovely Victorian play there about talking breasts. Number two, and this one doesn't make very much sense. If you want to control someone, sleep with a remote.
Absolutely baffling. If you want to control someone, sleep with a remote. I guess what they're saying is if you want a sexual partner that you can control,
Yeah.
That sexual partner might as well be a remote control.
But yes, and what's interesting to,
but then,
though...
But then what's wrong is if you want to control someone... Well, a remote control is not someone, unless this remote control controls a person, and now we're in a whole kind of new sci-fi world, and far beyond the remit of this TAT.
Far beyond the remit of the TAT, and also the remote isn't what you control, you use it to control the TV.
Exactly. I wasn't even going to go there because I thought...
it's too opens up layered for this.
Too layered, but you're absolutely right. You don't control the remote, you control the TV. But maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe if you want to control someone, sleep with a remote, and the remote will let you control the TV. But again, the TV is not someone.
Yeah, you're at best controlling the volume of a newsreader. Who is someone?
That's good. Okay. That's so good, actually, Pierre. Maybe you're onto the original meaning of the author. Although maybe I'm giving the author too much credit here.
It's very confusing. If you like, and also I like the idea of maybe there are men that do this, but the idea of a man walking into a pub and saying, "Where are some breasts I can meet so I can control someone?" Thinking like a fucking robot that's been sent from the future.
It is also not like, I think you have to pick your targets with this sort of empowerment tact, let's call it. So on the in the first rule is like, don't look at my breasts, you're not going to meet them. All right, so the target is sort of just some Jack the Lad fuckboy, right?
Yeah.
And then the second rule is, if you're looking for someone to control, look elsewhere. It's like, okay, well, this is a different kind of guy, really. You know, this is not just some horny, you know, just some horny moron coming into a pub. This is like a psychopath, like long-term, controlling, abusive partner.
Yeah,
which is,
it's altogether more sinister.
Yeah. This is like a completely different thing now.
It's the irony being, of course, that if they really are that manipulative, they'll be the ones who probably put the TAT up.
Right, sort of the ultimate gaslight.
Yeah, they can put it up and be like, "Men are like this, aren't they, ladies? Who wants a drink? You know, they're always a bit gross."
Yeah.
Whereas, yes, it's sort of the TAT gaslighting equivalent of that form you fill in if you go to America, which says, "Are you a member of the Nazi Party 1939-45? Well, no. I don't think this form's going to catch me. So that's baffling. Number three, rule number three here, Phil.
Yeah.
I always choose chocolate over men.
Right.
Which I guess is the female equivalent of beer over women or something.
That's true. But it's like you choose chocolate over men and beer over women. In what context? I mean,
so you never meet.
If it's to eat, I think that's the correct choice. If it's to talk to, that's not healthy. Yeah.
Maybe it's pointing out the mistake that a lot of men do, which is they walk up to women and go, "Well, you can either suck my dick or eat this chocolate." And they go, "Well, you've made a mistake there, sir. You've given me a very easy choice, might I add."
Yeah.
Chocolate.
But what's great about this is that it combats the it's sort of combating misogyny with sexism. I'm not just some harlot for you to have sex with. I love chocolate. You know, it's like, well, whose side are you on?
Yeah, it's like saying, "Don't stare at my breasts. They belong to my husband." There we go. That's solved.
"Don't look at my breasts. Slap my ass."
Like a gentleman, yeah. So number four is quite strange. I don't know how this is a rule per se. It's like less of a question, more of a statement territory we're in. Rule in quotes, number four, 51% love goddess, 49% bitch.
Yeah, not really a rule.
No, and also 51%. not a strong mandate.
No, I mean, that is less clear than Brexit.
There'll be protests.
Yeah. There'll be the bitches versus the goddesses.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And this is just like it's a hint of the aggressive tat that we saw with those Mexico mugs.
It's aggressive ego tat. I am mostly a goddess, but near as much a spiteful, vindictive, aggressive person.
Yes, and because I've warned
combination you, is a good thing somehow.
Yeah, and because I've warned you that I'm awful, I'm allowed to be awful.
That's right. If anything, it's empowering now that I've warned you.
Yes, and you're stupid for not listening hard enough when I said I was awful and walking straight into it. I'm, if anything, righteous for having pointed it out. I mean, it's like that tat you see where it's just like a t-shirt that just says like taco bitch or whatever. And you just think, wait, what? It's this outward aggression directed at the world, at the faceless world. It's just like anger.
Yeah, this presumed confrontation with the world.
Yes, starting off like aggressive, like a guard dog, just bad teeth.
Yeah. It's very much like the don't mess with a woman born in January who likes mayonnaise. It's like, well, who's going to mess with you? Why do you presume people are coming to mess with you?
Who's this directed at? Contact them directly. Yeah. Don't put it on a shirt. Number 5 is misspelled. I'll say it as it's supposed to be spelled. My sexual preference is no.
I mean, this is a very different statement to I am a person who is deserving of respect and not a sexual object. It is another thing completely to say my sexual preference is no. Okay, so you're a monk?
You're asexual.
You're asexual, which is fair enough. But I don't think this is a position that is common enough to require mass-produced tat.
No, and also, we're halfway through the rules so far, and the rules are summed up as, you'll never see my breasts, you can't control me, I prefer chocolate to all of you, I'm almost entirely a bitch, and I hate having sex. Jesus Christ! The irony is that any... the ramblings of a psychopath, but the irony is that any man, any decent man who listens, will have got halfway through the first 5 rules and gone, oh, well, I'll be going then. And the only people left...
Obviously, every second I'm spending here is an affront to you and everything you believe.
Yeah, so I'm amazed you haven't called the police from what you said.
So you're welcome, your sign has worked.
Good day, madam.
Also, my sexual preference is no just plays into this dreadful characterization of sex between the genders as it's something men want and women hold and protect, and it's something that has to be sort of coerced out of women.
Yes.
And so ironically, this tat is that's on the, you know, ostensibly empowering. It's just adding fuel to the flame.
It's just the constant implication that sex for women is trying to get sex out of a woman is like trying to get a friend to drive you to the airport at 5 a.m.
yeah.
Like they might do it, but it's not, you know.
You have to be really convincing. You have to offer something very valuable in exchange. Or you have to like guilt trip them or whatever.
But the irony is that after these rules, the only men left will be the kind of statement ignoring, not listening, persistent assholes who this is designed to scare off.
Well done filtering out anyone who's not a sociopath.
Yes, you've reduced your dating pool to literate maniacs. That's what you've done.
And also the illiterate, to be fair. Also potentially illiterate good guys.
Yes. Yes, the illiterate. Loitering hopefully around.
Yeah.
Number 6. My body is a temple. Now get on your knees and pray.
A very, very different feeling than rule number 1.
Yes.
Which was to not even look at my breasts.
Yes.
Very different also, sentiment.
My body is a temple, and get on your knees and pray. Am I praying for it? You only pray when you're in a temple. Are we fucking already?
That's right. I mean, you have to be in a temple to pray. You don't pray at a temple.
Am I praying to get access? Is that the way to do it? Is that correct?
I suppose the implication is that you should worship my body, but also remember rule one and don't look at it.
You have to worship it, but imagine it.
That's right.
You've never seen it. I'm a formless gas. An angry chocolate-eating gas.
I'm like a sexy Jupiter.
Yes. And you have to
imagine... With a big ring around me.
You have to imagine and pray. So... Maybe it's a really profoundly atheist statement in that you can pray about my body, but it won't get you. Like, they're not answered.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
like
okay.
Nihilistic.
That's right, 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 right.
So maybe that's it. It's got a bit Nietzschean. Number 7, this one's interesting.
Well, I guess this body is so... You are so beneath this body, you cannot... You shouldn't look at it.
Yes.
But also because you're so beneath it, you should worship it.
Yes, could, but then it gives rise to, yes, exactly. It's a paradox. It's like the God paradox. Like could my breasts be so enticing that even you could not help but meet them?
Right, right, right.
Could I choose chocolate over men so much that I run out of chocolate? Some kind of paradox. This needs
right,
further analysis.
It does. It's rich.
Number 7, this is an interesting rule. So the first part is, it says, it's not the size that counts, it's dot, dot, dot. No, wait, size does count.
Oh, yes. yeah. Like, an uncharacteristic stumble there from an otherwise very confident person.
Formerly fluent,
formerly very steadfast and sure of herself. Now suddenly, rule 7, she's lost a bit of confidence in what she's
saying. Rubbed it out halfway through.
Size doesn't count, dot, dot, dot. Yes, it does count. Now here, one could, I think, very fairly accuse the author of hypocrisy. I think in the first half of these 10 commandments, I don't know if there are 10, but in the first half of these commandments, she said, she's implied at least, my body is not an object, do not look at it, you won't get to touch it, it's also something to be worshipped, you're not worthy, but also, you are reducible to your sexual organ, and your value is reducible to your sexual organ.
Yeah, and fundamentally, what the rule says is, you better have a big dick so I can not fuck it and eat chocolate far
yes,
away.
That's true. Yeah, that's it. That's the other thing. It's very confusing what this person wants. Because she's also previously said that she's asexual. So what interest could she possibly have in a large penis? Unless she just likes a guy who can control his urine stream with great accuracy.
Yes, she admires it in a kind of purely aesthetic sense.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Number 8, we're back to the aggression, and it's misspelled. The word peace in this is misspelled.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with, remember, you horny piece of shit.
What a way to start a rule.
Jesus Christ, you were just talking about dicks and...
You're the horniest one here, arguably.
Yeah, you've been rambling on about not wanting to fuck the huge penises you demand, and now remember, you horny piece of shit! Like, oh, Jesus Christ! I didn't see you behind me. Fucking hell!
It's also a real it's also a real rhetorical break from the rest of the list to now go remember.
Yes.
Previously, it had just been a statement of rules. Now it's become a bit like conversational. Remember.
Yeah.
She started to lose her patience now.
what's that called? The invocative or whatever. It's like remember, like throw, go. Like what's that called? Like the grammar's changed. The syntax has changed.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Instructive. Remember, you horny piece of shit.
Your relationship to the reader has really changed.
Yeah. So she says, "Remember, you horny piece of shit," and then it's a full stop. And then, which is weird. And then the second sentence is, "Girls are made of sugar, spice, and all things nice." Yeah, well, evidently not.
I care to disagree. I don't even have to look beyond this one rule to find evidence to the contrary.
Your rules contain the seeds of their own destruction, madam. Who's the horny piece of shit now?
Okay, remember you horny piece of shit. Girls are made of sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. That's just what you have to remember, you horny piece of shit.
Wow, yeah, okay.
I'm going to start addressing you like that when I see you. Hey, you horny piece of shit.
Oh, man.
So there are 10 commandments. That was number 8. Great. This is number 9.
Yep.
This is number 9. Men are like hardwood floors.
Gosh, okay. Can I remember this? Men are like hardwood floors. And they're for you to walk over.
Yes. Well, basically, it's a very sort of unexpected bit of quite good carpentry advice.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say that we don't necessarily expect good sort of old-fashioned DIY advice from this person so far. Men are like hardwood floors. Lay them right the first time, and you can walk all over them forever.
Now.
Yes.
I have to give it up. That is a decent bit of wordplay, at least. At least it does kind of work.
It does. It's undermined by the fact that now, apparently, we're back in the territory where this person is willing to have sex again.
Yeah, very confusing. But also hypocritical, because you've now explicitly expressed a desire to control men, having previously said, men, if you want to control something, fuck a remote control.
Yes. Yeah, men are, that's it. And it's like you can't control me. I'm not just a body. By the way, you should have a huge dick and I'm going to control you by fucking you. But I'll never fuck you. I'll eat chocolate. It's the ramblings of a mad woman.
Yeah. Yeah, were these rules group sourced? It feels very much a committee, a piece of committee work.
I have a dark and growing suspicion that these rules were just written by men.
Right, okay. Yeah, I think that might be very possible.
Because the sudden inclusion of a piece of advice about hardwood flooring, almost sexist, Phil. And the fact that it depicts women, as they're always seemingly depicted, as kind of like irrationally horny and not horny in a way that's baffling and impossible to predict.
Right, of course, yes. Really.
Which is why,
hot and cold and, yeah.
I do remember having a moment when I was growing up when I was watching some action movie to turn my brain off. And I mean, I was like young. I was like a young teenager maybe. And in like almost every one of these action movies, the like girl character is always like pointlessly weeping or stupid. Or it's like, but we can't shoot him. That's murder. Things like that. Things but where like the debate about being in a gunfight has gone far beyond concerns like that. And I remember thinking, God, why are women in films always so fucking annoying? And I went, wait, all these films were written by men.
Yeah.
And it was genuinely blew my mind. I was like, they've made the characters like this.
There are whole decades of films where every time a woman speaks, the nearest man grabs her by the shoulders and shakes her. No matter what she has said. Like, there's a scene in, I don't know if you've seen The Warriors.
Yes.
In The Warriors,
you should find a vaccine for the disease.
Calm down, you moron. Don't let your hysteria overtake you. And like, there's a scene in The Warriors where the Warriors are walking through a tunnel to get through New York, and there's a lady with them. And I swear she says something like, are you sure we're going the right way? And the guy grabs her by the shoulders and just shakes her. Just shakes her. Like, calm down.
Calm down. You're said being... is this insane!
The right way?
This is my dark suspicion. And then number 10, it's a bit of a letdown, actually, number 10. We feel like we've been building to it, some kind of irrational, hypersexual and asexual at the same time conclusion.
Yeah.
And instead, number 10 is just save your breath for your inflatable date.
Right, yeah, save your breath for an inflatable date.
Final instruction after all this journey we've been on is don't talk to me, go blow up a sex doll.
Don't even try. After all these detailed tips and hints and demands, actually don't bother at all, go do something else.
Actually don't bother at all, go fuck a balloon.
Go fuck a balloon, you're better off that way. I mean, at this point it's very clear the author has just reached for sort of wordplay and gags.
Yeah.
Laying the boards, you know, and breath for a balloon.
Yeah.
We've sort of lost interest in the meaning behind these rules, if there ever was any meaning, and now it's just kind of gags and puns.
Yeah, I think they should have should have closed with hardwood floors, and they should have opened or close to opened with inflatable dates should have been first or maybe third in the list, I would say.
I don't think inflatable dates should be in there. Maybe in the middle. It definitely should have closed on hardwood floors. It's the best gag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inflatable. Yeah. I think maybe in the middle or even not at all, because it kind of it really muddies the waters. Because now the author is recommending the person, the audience does go on a date, but with an inanimate object. I guess it's sort of in the same family as have sex with the remote. I guess.
Yeah. Or it's my sexual preference is no.
Yeah, you're right. It should follow directly on from that, maybe as a sort of topper.
Yes, that sort of thing. I wonder. Shall we? Let's close by trying to come up with our own ones.
Okay. And from whose perspective? From a male perspective, or from the same perspective?
No, for this sort of mad, hypersexual, asexual, alleged
unpleasant
alleged
goddess.
Woman. Yeah, the goddess bitch woman that we're talking about.
Okay.
Here, who lives in the bar?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Oh, this is hard, actually.
Let's see. Yeah, well, see, we judge Philip. We judge, but
if you're inviting me back to, if I invite you back to my place, it better be because you just bought it.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, a kind of enormous demand immediately on resources there.
Yeah. What do you think? Something like that?
I like that, yeah. My advert-addled brain immediately went to a brand, which was, if you want a ride, download Uber.
Well, that's all right. If you want a cheap ride, get Uber.
I was trying to think of one of, like, if you like buying people drinks, why don't you run a pub or something like that?
Right.
But then you're selling.
Republican does. Yeah,
you are buying
drinks.
Them. You are selling them.
Right.
What about an aggressive one?
An aggressive one. Okay.
Listen here, you fucking worm pig.
Yeah.
My lips are for my lips are for smiling, and yours are for apologizing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have your usual finesse, Pierre, I'll be honest. But
no,
the
I really went on the fly with that one. I got
clear.
In the car and I just started driving.
I was something. The only part of me you can kiss is my ass. Something like that.
Ooh,
that's hey, not, dickhead.
The only part of me you can kiss is my ass, which you'll never meet.
That's right. Yeah, that encapsulates the everything. Yeah,
there
every,
we go.
Every
eat my ass, this, which you'll never be near. Something like that.
Yeah, something like go down on me where you belong. It's kind of like
yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, that was really great. I love Tat, Pierre. I love it so much, and I'm so grateful that people send us Tat. Thank you so much. Because there's just endless. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And I love it. I love it so much. So
it tells you a lot about your society.
It really does. It really does. Sorry, a bit of a long one this week, folks. Sorry and you're welcome, depending on just how much you enjoy this podcast.
Yes.
But I hope you all have a great week. And a
good
time.
Have a good week. Hope people don't whisper disgusting through a door while you do a shit.
And if you have the temperament for it, I do recommend Once Upon a Time in Iraq. It is exceptional on iPlayer. But be warned, it's heavy stuff. But really good, really illuminating stuff. Otherwise, keep jacking it.
Lovely, Koji guys. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.